Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher. This is week 8 WTF, so what the football? Boy, do I have a show for you. There's been so much going on, I just can't even believe the weekend of football. I'm not going to start with the Steelers because I'm still stinging from week 7 on a game we should have won, but a bad decision by Kenny Pickett. But here we are, week 8. We're playing the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles, who are still undefeated, as I'm sure you've seen. And so I'm going to save that for a little bit later. But here's looking at the what we call Halloween edition of the week 8 What the Football NFL. So first of all, I'm maybe this is crass, maybe this is something I shouldn't say, but I don't care. It's Halloween. You know, I'm asking Tom Brady this question. Was it really worth coming out of a 40-day retirement for what, the 3-5 team and your personal life? Your marriage is over, everything's over because of promises you made, and you're getting sacked at least once or twice a game. So I'm just going to leave that there and think, I wonder what he's thinking about that. Another thing when it comes to what the football, first of all, people understand the game. How do the football players not understand the game? Do not take your helmet off in celebration while you're still on the field. Just ask DJ Moore of Carolina, who caught a 62-yard end zone Hail Mary with 11 seconds left on the clock. He takes his helmet off. He gets penalized 15 yards. Now it is a 48-yard extra point. And of course it was missed, taking them into overtime. Their field goal kicker, who's also their extra point kicker, missed a field goal, and Atlanta wins by a field goal. I'm so happy for Marcus Mariota because it was his birthday, so happy belated 29th birthday, and I just love that kid. I think he finally got his opportunity. You know, I think he was pushed out of Tennessee, and, you know, Tannehill's not doing that great a job. So I'm just so happy for him. But seriously, what the football? You need to know your rules. It's just crazy to me. If you had a chance to see the Minnesota game, there was kind of a funny moment. Minnesota's doing pretty well. They're first in their division. Yes, a Kirk Cousins-led team. But the field goal kicker tried to just drive it into the field goal, obviously, and he hit an Arizona player in the face. So we call that a face block, right into the helmet. And the special teams player fell backwards. It was such a low kick. But yeah, we had our first face block. Field goal. So that was kind of interesting. And then how happy are the 49ers that they acquired Christian McCaffrey? And I should say, how happy is Christian McCaffrey not being in the mess of Carolina, the losing team right now? And I think that Garoppolo is probably super happy. So is John Lynch, their GM, because not only did they get a 31-14 win, but he injected some kind of offense into a team that led by Jimmy Garoppolo, who, again, I will just say is cute, but he is not going to lead you personally to a Super Bowl on his own the way he plays. And so to get that kind of offensive power, I mean, McCaffrey, he had a passing touchdown, he had a rushing touchdown, and he had a receiving touchdown. That's the first player that's done that, they said, in 45 years. That is crazy. Yes, he had a passing touchdown as he got pitched back as the, and I'm air quoting, quarterback. And that was just crazy. He was so scary good. I mean, just really good. Makes me want to be 49ers fan again. But I haven't been since Steve Young was there, so I'm going to stick with my Steelers. So let's just take a look at some of the real winners and losers here. Again, John Lynch, I think he's probably thinking, yeah, I did that. I got Christian McCaffrey. I got it in a trade. Yes, he might have given up a lot for him, but look at his performance. Yeah, he's patting himself on the back for sure. But what happened to the Jets? I mean, and I say that kind of in jest because we couldn't believe that they were a 5-2 start. And then Zach Wilson had a Zach Wilson day. So he had one of the worst days I've ever seen. So he threw 3 interceptions, and that's a clear reason why they lost 22-17 to the Patriots. But of course, Bill Belichick-led team. but it was pretty awful. So that'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting, this is something that I don't know. I'm just not sold on Nathaniel Hackett. He's the Broncos' new head coach, and he, in the off season, he came out, and to me, this was a what the football moment. He was too buddy-buddy and friends and kind of animated, kind of in a Sean McVay way, but not one that he's earned. And so, you know, he basically, I think if the Broncos had lost on Sunday, there was a 50-50 chance the team would have left him in London. But yes, they played at London, which is 6:30 my time here in California. And I'm sitting there on Saturday night going, I'm not getting up to go watch the Broncos. But guess what? Yep, I was awake. And they were playing the Jacksonville. And of course, Jacksonville loves London. And so they were able to pull out a 21-17 win at the very end, which is unfortunate for Jacksonville because they were actually ahead in the game. But I think all that did was basically allow Hackett another couple of weeks to keep his job. I have a feeling that he's going to be on the hot seat, or he is on the hot seat, depending on what happens in the next couple of games. What about Josh McDaniels? So how many of you, when you heard that Josh McDaniels, boy next door, okay, the guy that was a offensive coordinator with Bill Belichick for a couple of years, he was the one in Denver that drafted Tim Tebow. I mean, he just doesn't look like what the Raiders would want as a head coach. The Raiders need somebody who's, I don't know, Grim Reaper, angry, can wear black and it looks good. I don't know. But I don't know. They went down to New Orleans, and some people think they did a 24-hour bender on Bourbon Street because they lost. They were shut out 24-0. The Carr got benched in the game, and so Derek Carr, almost said David Carr, who I can't stand, his brother, but Derek got benched in the fourth quarter because they were just so bad. And there's reports that Mark Davis had a closed door meeting with McDaniels after the game, which can't be a good thing. And so his first season with the Raiders, it's turning into a disaster. And we'll see what happens on that one, because that's really, really going to be a problem. And so one of the things that I think has been just kind of a silent team that, you know, they did have a 2-game losing streak. They came out pretty strong to start. But how about those Saints? I mean, just talking about the flip side of that. Yes, they had a 3-5 record. Now they are 4-5. Alvin Kamara, my fantasy league, he was playing against me and scored 42 points. I mean, he rushed for 62 yards and a touchdown. He also had 96 receiving yards and 2 touchdown catches. Nobody could stop him, especially not the Raiders. And so that is just going to be a team that people are going to have to pay attention to for sure. What about the Dolphins and the Lions? So when the Dolphins found themselves in an early 14-0 hole, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know what? Tyreek isn't that great. Yeah, then I checked back in on there, and I'm like, oh, what the football. Tyreek Hill, 188 yards. Jalen Waddell, again, playing against me in fantasy football, 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm like, stop throwing to him. But yeah, that's definitely a what the football moment. I don't know what happened to the Lions. I have their running back. He scored me 30 points. But after you get a 14-0 lead, and for this third straight week, you forget to play football or how to play football in the second half. I mean, you're scoring a ton of points in the first half, and then you're losing in the second half. Dan Campbell's going to have to figure that out, how he can get his team to play 2 good halves. Otherwise, it's definitely going to be a knock on the door for him as well. Because, I mean, you were on Hard Knocks this year, so that should tell you something. Getting back to the NFC South, you know what? Again, I just really, really like talking about Marcus Mariota. He's just such a cool kid. But they're surprisingly right now 4-4 in their division. And if you look at that division, that's actually considered one of the better teams. So I wish the Steelers were in a less competitive division, because we'd actually be doing something out there, believe it or not, even at 2-6. The Seahawks. So question is, are they really the best team in the AFC West? Well, I don't know. Now that the 49ers are figuring things out with Christian McCaffrey, that team's getting a bit healthier now with Kittle and some of their players back. The Seahawks aren't going away in the NFC playoff race, but they're going to have a challenge. But you know what? Geno Smith, he's getting the job done. That's for sure. And especially with a victory over the New York Giants that everybody was already anointing going to the Super Bowl. So we'll see how that happens. So I'm not happy about the Steeler game. Obviously, we've now put the Philadelphia in a 7-0 start. And it's just, will they make it 10-0? They don't play any winning teams. And so, yes, they'll probably be 10-0 in the next three games. But if you're going to lose to a team that's undefeated. I mean, it's hard to lose to teams that are playing terrible. And so when you have a team that just has an answer for everything that you do, then it's just something to see. So I think the Eagles, yes, I think they're going to go all the way. Just basically what I saw on there. And that was definitely a painful game to watch. How many of you at some point were thinking, you know what, maybe I'll just turn on the Red Zone channel? I know, me too. I didn't do it, even though I wanted to, but it was definitely tough to do that. Derrick Henry and the Titans, he got himself into the record books on how he's just having just 200-yard games like crazy, multiple touchdowns. And that's the sixth time that he's done that, and it ties him for the most in NFL history with actually Adrian Peterson and O.J. Simpson. Crazy. And then, I don't want to even go back to the Panthers kicker. Let's go back to London. How about Latavius Murray? So he had kind of an interesting little stat here that was kind of fun. And it was a little bit of a what the football. So he scored a touchdown against the Jaguars on Sunday, which is notable because he also scored a touchdown when playing for the Saints in a loss to the Vikings in week 4. So he's the only player in NFL history to score a rushing touchdown in London for two different teams in the same season. Who knew? So good for him being now in Denver. And then Tyreek Hill. Okay, yeah, if I have to go back to him, this is definitely a what the football. This kid, I mean, it's really hard to contain him. So if the Dolphins can't capitalize on him more, then they're going to have a problem. But you can't put it all on one player, as we saw last night with the Bengals-Browns game. First of all, the offensive line for the Bengals, they're going to get Joe Burrow killed. I mean, how many times did we sack him when we saw him? 7? And last night, what was he sacked? 6? He's going to get killed, and he's already been out for a head injury or a concussion. I don't know if they like him there or what, but the Browns, oh my gosh, they just trampled over them last night. That was a very scary game to watch, and just because I just felt bad for the quarterback. But the Browns now, they have moved up 3-5, and it definitely shattered some things that people thought that the Bengals were going to pull it out. But let's face it, the Bengals are 12 straight road primetime game losses. So nobody really expected them to win except for all the pundits on TV because they didn't have Ja'Marr Chase. And I was getting really tired of Troy Aikman and Joe Buck saying they don't have Ja'Marr Chase. They don't have Ja'Marr Chase. Okay, no, they don't have Ja'Marr Chase, but they also had Tyler Boyd. They have T. Higgins. They needed to turn to Joe Mixon, and they just didn't do enough because of that offensive line and the defense of just looking at the Browns. They just killed them. But you need to stop putting that just on one player. Yes, they're without Ja'Marr Chase, but they could have won if they just had an offensive line that would have protected their quarterback. And then what about the Cowboys? I hate talking about the Cowboys, but they have a situation that I think the Steelers also have. First of all, they're putting all their ducks in a row for Zeke Elliott, who is terrible. And I only say that because I see him in fantasy. And you know, that's how you can kind of gear some players. You can watch the game, see how they're doing. But if they're not scoring points, they're not fantasy darlings. And that's kind of what I look at sometimes. But they need to feed Tony Pollard if they want to do something as far as winning. And which brings me to Jaylen Warren for the Steelers. You know, the Steelers are really putting a lot of faith in dealing with Najee Harris, and I love him as a media guy. I love him as a person. I think he's just so, you know, nice and very friendly to fans. But he's averaging, what, three yards a carry? And we've got Warren that's averaging over five. Do the math. I mean, if you don't do the math, then, you know, you can't just keep hoping when you pull on that slot machine handle that it's going to work. It's not going to work all the time. So it's definitely something to consider as a Steeler organization. Now, here's something, and here's a what the football, getting back to the Steelers. I don't think they can go back as far as putting in Mitch Trubisky at this point, because let's face it, it's not like you're moving up to put in somebody better, just somebody different. And Kenny has a lot of talent. He's so good with the passing game when it comes to completions. And if they continue to target Pickens, you might see a little bit more of that. Chase Claypool had a game, but they really need to focus on targeting the players that are making plays. And it just seems like they're targeting players that they're paying money to. You know, Deontay Johnson, I've never been a fan, and I'll never be a fan because of his drops and key moments and because of his attitude. So everybody's saying, oh, try to trade, you know, Chase Claypool for any kind of value. Well, he's more valuable on our team right now. Remember, he's still on his rookie contract. He is very, very cost effective. If you want to trade somebody for Deontay. I mean, let's get him out of there and change the makeup of everything. He caused a problem with Mitch. He's always, you know, barking about how great he is, and scale of 1 to 10, I think he's a 6. Is he a route runner, a good route runner when he actually holds on to the ball? He is. When he actually holds on to the ball, but you hold your breath every time. And we still haven't fixed what's going on in the backfield on, you know, punt returns and kickoff returns. So Olszewski, I don't think he's the answer, because we also hold our breath on that as well. And it's interesting, because seeing Ray McCloud in San Francisco is just kind of makes my head explode a little bit. But we need to figure it out. And do I still think, oh yeah, let's fire Matt Canada? Absolutely. I don't know if Joe agrees with me on that or not, but we'll see. Because Joe, I did not listen to your last one on that. And they look at these trick plays sometimes and they say, oh, well, this worked, you know, or you've got this end around, which now people are waiting for it. And you're having your wide receiver throw a touchdown. Yeah, okay, that's great, but it worked one time. But it's not something you can do every single time. So you have to make sure that you are solid in all aspects of the game. But we're so predictable. I mean, on first down, how many times do we actually pass? No, we are run, pass, then out. And we do so many three and out, it's just ridiculous. And I mean, I could even call the play on TV before they even do it. So for me, that's my rant on what the football for Steelers, because to me, it's just, it's very sad. We're not getting it done, and we need to get it done. And they're going to have to figure out from an offensive coordinating position to bring somebody in that knows what they're doing. And right now, I don't think that's Canada. So that's just my take on that. Hopefully some of you have the same take or trying to figure out exactly what's going on there, but I guess we'll kind of see what the future brings. And I don't know, the Steelers, we're 2-6. It's going to be a tough season for Coach Tomlin. Could be his first losing season. If you look at the NFL rankings by different pundits, we're ranking 27 out of 32 teams. That's not good. That's not good. You at least want to be in the top 20. So, but this season is one going to be very painful for the rest of us. Anyway, we have a bye coming up, and hopefully that'll give everybody a chance to regroup. We're supposed to get TJ Watt back after the bye, which will be a great addition, because every time he's not in the game, we lose, as we've seen. And we just need a dose of or injection of something to get this team on the right track. So everyone, make it a great week. Have a good time on whatever you do on our bye week. And we'll talk to you next week on the Steel City Underground podcast, What the Football.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.